Did you know that LeBron's a lefty?
Really? Oh
Yeah.
my God, I'm so happy.
Yeah, he shoots with his right, but everything else is with his left. I had to look it up to confirm.
Oh
Totally
my
real.
God. I don't know if Zoe's my favorite Laker anymore.
Lefty power.
God, I'm so.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Lit for Lakers. I'm your host, Jess, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host,
What
Travis.
up?
So, we did it again, and we got lazy and, like, took a week off or two.
Yeah.
But we're back. Not a whole lot happened in between, so things kind of build up so that we can have more to talk about. And what do you know, we really don't have a ton, but what we do have is we have the schedule got released. And it's a little weird that we're opening like on the second day or like the third day of the season and on the road against Portland.
Yeah,
of all
it's a
teams.
really kind of odd opener considering, you know, we're already like the biggest team. Even when the Lakers were like awful, they were still like one of the most popular teams worldwide. Now we've got LeBron and like you're not putting us on day one.
Yeah, and it's weird. Well, I would understand day one because, like, you kind of want, like, champion rematches and stuff or like, conference final. Like, they usually have some teams that were, like, really good last year. So I would understand at least that, but not getting the second day is kind of weird, especially since the rest of the way that the NBA is handling the Lakers is kind of, good Lakers is their new shiny toy that they want to show off to everybody. And that's kind of what they're doing with especially with that first week. It's pretty crazy. Like, could you pull that up? What our first or like not the first week, the first 10 day, first 10 games for the Lakers.
Yeah,
it's like I was kind of thinking, you know, it's gonna be tough for the Lakers to put it together in the beginning of the season, because it always is tough with a new team and a new star. But I was hoping maybe some easy games in the beginning might help. Maybe we'll have an easy schedule to start, but I don't know who I was kidding. Like, of course the NBA was going to give us.
Well, we've got
matchups.
the Suns pretty early on. They're a fourth game.
Yeah, but like right off the first 10.
The first 10, so it's going to be Portland, obviously. We were just talking about that. Next up is the Rockets. That'll be fun. After that is the Spurs. So two out of the first three are really – well, actually, the Spurs aren't that good anymore, so
– they'll be a playoff-push team,
playoff
though.
Push.
There's going to be eight or – there's going to be, like, 9 or 10 playoff-caliber teams in the West. There are teams that are going to miss it are going to deserve –
yeah, and I think
team.
The Spurs are going to be one of the missers.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah.
So after the Spurs, we've got the Suns, which is kind of the first kind of cakewalk. After that, we're going to have, this is the fifth game, this is against, the Nuggets.
Nuggets. See, like, that's 4 out of 5 playoff teams. And I'm pretty sure, like, it continues for, like, 7 out of 10 playoff teams. Or, like, really good teams. You know what I mean? So, it's going to be a tough start. We'd be lucky if we can get, like, if we can come out of that, like, 5-5.
Oh,
great.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because then we got the Spurs again.
And then... yeah.
Then we've.
No, it's not going to be an easy stretch. And, like, also the Christmas game, we're on the road at Golden State, which is the first matchup. We're going to have to wait all the way till Christmas to play the Warriors, which is kind of good. I don't want to get smacked and embarrassed by them.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's.
Yeah. Well,
the Warriors actually are not a team I want to go up against early on. Like you were saying earlier, like, I want to. That's definitely something we should get some chemistry going on court chemistry going first. Yeah, definitely.
You see, and the NBA tried to hide Paul George.
Sorry, one more time.
Try to protect him. I felt like they were trying to protect
Oh,
Paul
yeah,
George,
yeah, right? Definitely. I was reading somewhere though that that's normal for like if they're afraid of like, not afraid, I guess, but like, so like if like a fan base doesn't like a specific player, they won't do that early. They'll give it more time.
Yeah, they hit him all the way until January 2nd before OKC comes to LA. But you know what? I'm still going to be angry. Mm-hmm. That is a must attend.
Yeah. Cool.
But those prices, they're going up.
Yeah.
From last year. I don't know. We're not gonna be able to afford, like, some like regular schmucks like us, and probably most of our listeners probably we won't be able to afford to go to more than like one, if we're lucky, right. two games.
Yeah.
Next
it's
year.
Not. It's like, not gonna be.
I got pick and choose. That I'm like, we're going to, I'm making sure we're going to that Thunder game, but like,
mm-hmm. it's not going to be easy to go see our new LeBron.
Yeah, maybe a preseason game. I got to check what kind of prices they're fetching, but I mean, I was looking at the season, like regular tickets are like, even like the regular, like boring games are like 110, 120, and like they're going up to 200. We'll see what happens when the regular tickets release. Right now it's just the season ticket sellers trying to go mm-hmm. through resellers, but it's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, but yeah. ticket prices are always going to, they're definitely going to drop more there now, but I would assume. So yeah. next after the Spurs, so this is going to be our seventh game of the season, right? We got mm-hmm. the Timberwolves. That's going to be mm-hmm. away. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the only reason I'm excited is because my boy at work is a fan of the Timberwolves. So I can't wait to talk about that, but with him.
Yeah. Well, also we get to show love to Jimmy Butler, who we want next year. He's one of the guys we want.
Yeah, I guess for me, though, to get Jimmy, I feel like we should be shooting higher. You know what I mean?
Because Jimmy's yeah, cool. not... He's a nice backup
player. He's a great player, but he's nah, I don't know if he's necessarily Laker material, assuming the Lakers, you know, are what they were. You know what I mean?
I put it this way. I always thought of Jimmy Butler as the exact same player as Paul George. And I'd like Paul George right now. So, well, you know, a player similar to Paul sure. George. I don't want bad decision makers like right. the real Paul George.
If he makes bad decisions on the court, he's probably going to – or if he makes them off the court, he'll probably make them on the court.
Yeah. Anyway, do you have any last notes on the schedule before we just move on to our second segment, which will be a lot of fun? We're going to reminisce about the tank year since it's over.
Well, so if we could backtrack a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm not quite done talking about LeBron being a lefty. The lefty. I looked it up because I was like, no way. And it's true. He's basically a lefty who shoots right-handed. He's not the only yeah. one, though. Larry Bird. Ugh. Unfortunately, he's a lefty. and among some other guys, Russell Westbrook.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, and Gary Payton.
You know who's a weird one? Is Ben Simmons. I think he shoots left-handed, but finishes around the rim right-handed.
That's interesting.
Or the other way around.
Huh.
Yeah. I don't know what he regularly uses to write or whatever.
Yeah, you know what? So normally, you know, we haven't revealed a lot about ourselves. We mostly just talk about the Lakers. But, so, you know, I'm left-handed. But, so I'm a guitar player, right? I play right-handed.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron's left-handed. He's a basketball player, but he kind of plays right-handed.
You're basically LeBron James. You are LeBron.
The lefty. Okay. Anyways, that's all I had to say.
All right, with that, we'll just take it into break, and we'll come back, and we'll talk about some of the best times of these years of folly. So, because there's not a whole lot of content going on right now, and also because we're just trying to have a little bit of fun here, we'd kind of look back and talk about some of our favorite moments from the years of tanking, since ain't going down no more. No more missing the playoffs. No more of these rebuild years. We are built. We're going to keep building, but we're now actually, you know? So anyway, I thought I'd start us off with one of my favorites was, we just kind of roll from there. One of my favorites was Julius Randle when he had that one-on-one with Tyson Chandler.
Oh, yeah.
We're like him, he and Tyson Chandler were like bodying each other and getting each other's faces. And, you know, Tyson Chandler is a big dude. He's got easily like four inches or so on Julius Randle. And Julius was just unfazed, and they were just kind of going at it. I love how he had that dog in him. And end of the game, of course, it's like Lakers trying to hold off and win this game against, I guess, I think he was still on the Suns back then, but can't say for sure. I just remember it was Julius and Tyson Chandler, and he's going at him, and it's a one-on-one situation on the wing, and you're just waiting for him to attack and see who's the victor here. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, boom, fires off a pass to, I don't know, maybe it was Jordan Clarkson or Lou Williams or somebody. Anyway, they hit the three, seal the game. Oh, what an awesome
Yeah, that, you know, that's funny, because I don't remember who hit the shot either, but I do remember Julius passing it. That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Normally you remember who hits the shot, not who got the assist.
Yeah. It was just such so an intense moment, and the way that the let-off it had. Oh, what a plot twist that was.
Okay, so if you're going with a... I mean, you were kind of talking about that one moment at the end, but, you know, if we're going, like, back and forths between players, when Kuzma and Kyrie went at it in that one game, remember that?
That was pretty dope, just trading blow for blow. Yeah. That was, like, one of those moments where you're like, oh, shit,
Kuzma's for real.
That dude's got the stones. He's got the stones. That dude's... I hope he's Laker for life.
Oh, me too.
He's... Goodness. Yeah, the way he dueled people. You know who else dueled with somebody? Or same thing, dueled with Kyrie. It was D'Lo. I don't know if you remember that game. It went like deep, and D'Lo and him both scored like 30 something or something like that. Maybe 20 something. But like, D'Lo was killing it late in the game, just like hitting shot after shot, matching Kyrie, and at the end Kyrie is just too much. But
yeah, it's Kyrie.
Yeah. That was a killer one. That was I think it was D'Lo's second year. Yeah, pretty sure it was his second year. Yeah, he was fun.
Yeah.
So,
do you have another one?
No, you
so roll. I don't know if this counts. I mean, why wouldn't it? We're just shooting the shit. But
yeah.
So it's not something that happened on the court. But so, you know, you and I both like to go on the Lakers subreddit, and there was one time this guy was telling this guy made this like bonkers post where he's talking about he's this gay Lakers fan and he fell in love with Timothy Mozgov.
I remember that one, best shit post, I believe, in for the Reddit post. That one was hilarious. I couldn't believe it. And then when he got traded,
yeah, somebody commented. Was like, hey, what's up?
Oh no, the Mozgov love guy was crushed.
This is so bananas.
It was bananas. That's exactly a good description. So if I go something kind of off the court, one thing that was just so enjoyable, it wasn't a moment, it was more just, you know, a part of this journey, was the rise of LeVar.
Sorry, your voice got a little robot-y there. You want to repeat that?
It was the rise of LeVar.
Oh!
Witnessing that was incredible. Yeah. Like, because it just started as just this weird ESPN headline, like, you know, five rows down, that, you know, Lonzo Ball's dad thinks that his son is better than Steph Curry. And you're like, what? Whatever. But then you just keep seeing these outlandish claims.
What?
Like, what is going on? Exactly. Like, what? Yeah, and then he just starts appearing on First Take, and he would beat Michael Jordan, all this kind of stuff, all this kind of shit. Then when he goes on First Take,
oh yeah, walk on screen. He's got like that swag, yeah, whatever he's doing. Oh my god.
And then him and Stephen A going at it. And then him and Stephen A.
Yeah. Oh my god.
That picture. There's that picture where Stephen A, they both have this, like, he's like, I can't even describe it. This is terrible radio. But like, they just had these intense looks on their face. It was the most ridiculous, outlandish look. Oh my goodness. He wouldn't need help. I'm too strong.
You hear what he said?
Something is wrong with you.
Did you hear what he said most recently?
What?
Hello? Oh, sorry. What he goes, I just read the headline, but he said the Lakers, they're not LeBron's team, they're still Lonzo's team.
Oh, I just don't give a shit. I saw that. I don't give a shit.
I don't care about it. Like, it's all, none of it matters. It's just LeVar, you know what I mean? It's all just silly.
Yeah, I just feel like the LeVar effect is kind of dying.
Yeah.
Like, I just care less and less about him.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like, I love him, you know? And I'm excited to see what happens when he, when the Lakers start being good again, he start talking shit. That'll mm-hmm. be fun. But right now, like, without anything happening, like, he just can't draw attention anymore by saying stuff. Like, he just can't create content right. anymore. You know what I mean? Like, what are you going to do? You already said you'd beat Michael Jordan.
Yeah. How are you going to top that?
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of LeVar, did you know, I heard something, this JBA player, he, like, didn't even get paid, like, a third, he got paid, like, a third of really? What he promised. Yeah, and they made him, like, buy, pay for his bags and stuff, and, like, I think in the end, like, he came up, like, $1,000.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, super shady.
LeVar,
he's just a charlatan.
Yeah, I just think he doesn't realize he can't do those things.
Yeah, he just doesn't understand yeah. business. He's just like, I'm gonna do a business.
Yeah, that's what he's doing. I'm gonna do a business. That's probably exactly what he's saying.
I don't know. I mean, maybe he's done a business before. I don't know how
yeah,
he got
money, money.
But yeah, I don't know what he does. Like, maybe he's like just a super kingpin, pyramid scheme guy.
I just I'm right now.
That's what he should do. He should turn Big Baller Brand into a pyramid scheme. That would be like perfect.
Yeah, that's what he should do.
You get two of your friends wearing Big Baller Brand. You're gonna get bonus. Anyway. You got another favorite thing about the Lakers?
So more off court stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All the social media stuff with Young Hollywood and most specifically the Slenderman shit. That video made me laugh so hard.
Yeah. Are you talking about which one?
Sorry, you kind of cut out
which
there for
one?
A second.
Which one? Which Slenderman?
It's just so the video where they're at the theater, the movie theater.
Yeah, and he's like, so, yeah, it's you. It's so funny. I swear Kuzma's high as shit. Like half the time he's on his Instagram. Yeah.
So, a quarterback.
What?
Hold on. Hold on, give me a second.
I don't need him.
He played for the London Monarchs, a British-based American football franchise. I'm reading an article off Mental Floss to give credit. A British-based American football franchise before retiring from the game in 95. By this point, he had saved up a bunch of money. So he made a bunch of money playing football in London.
No.
That's what I'm reading. So maybe this is nonsense, but it looks legit. It looks like a good website.
I mean, clearly he had to, like, invest it in shit. I'm hoping.
Yeah.
And you know.
Oh, and Tina Ball, the mother,
mm-hmm.
played college basketball.
Basketball family. bring it back on the court. I have another sure. favorite moment. It was KCP's off the backboard
move. What about his up and down? What was his what do you mean? Didn't shoot it.
We yeah. never shot.
He's just like, whoops, damn it.
Just KCP, such a wonderful experience.
I think my favorite part of having him was when he was in jail.
When there was a Lakers Film Room podcast where like Pete like midway through was like, listen, Lakers want to talk about character. KCP's in jail. He's a prisoner. The way he like yelled it was so funny. KCP's a prisoner right now.
Man.
I can't wait. Like his like LeBron's not gonna tolerate that shit.
No.
But I hope I see some of it. Him and Lance together are gonna be such a goofy combo.
Yeah. The Lakers are gonna be kind of goofy.
Yeah, it's gonna be a goofy team. I'm excited. Mm-hmm. It's very memeable. It's gonna make our lives really easy doing this podcast. Cause like it's been, you know, without much to make content that we gotta like generate our own shit. And that's fun enough. But like I feel like when season starts, it's just gonna flow. There's all these hot takes to go
for sure.
To
do. Also, like I think that it's easier to laugh when your team's doing bad. So I think you know what I mean? Like it's easier to make jokes about a bad team than a good team. And so, like, now that the Lakers are good, it might be harder to be entertaining, but nope, turns out we got the silliest team, like, that maybe there's ever been.
No, you know what? That's a good point. Like, because I've always said, like, you know, it's cool to root for a bad team. Like, when I tell, I said this about, who is it, which fans? All the fans that we insulted because we said their team's going to tank in 4 years. That, like, tanking's not that bad.
Yeah.
And, like, rooting for a bad team is next to rooting for a contender the best thing, in my opinion. Because, like, you're never disappointed with a loss because you know it's coming. The wins are always a surprise, and you laugh along the way. There's no pressure. There's none of that.
Yeah.
Of course, winning a title is the most fun, and being a contender is pretty fun, too. So those are probably, like, the best things. But, like, a regular playoff team or a team that just misses the playoffs, that's so frustrating.
Like, yeah.
And the Lakers are going to be in that zone, of that frustration zone, where, like, they're going to play good enough where you're like, damn, these guys can be world beaters. But then they're going to lose some nights, and you're just going to be pulling your hair out. So,
yeah, anyway, no, definitely.
To bring it all around, is just, you're right, that, like, it's having a funny team is going to help bring some
content.
Bring comic relief to an overall dramatic movie, whatever. I don't know where I'm going with this. Save me with a memory.
I remember. Well, it's not really about the rebuild, but it happened during the rebuild, I guess you could say. Kobe's retirement.
Oh shit, yeah, 60 points. Of course, how do we not lose?
That was incredible.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite moments. I got like, I was starting to get emotional by the end of that game. And like when he was talking at the end, like
60 points on a bajillion shots as we're just like, shoot it, Kobe, shoot it. Right? See how high you can go. Your shooting percentage don't fucking matter now.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that was just amazing. Oh. Besides that, D'Lo's big game.
And D'Lo's big quarter.
Big quarter. Well, that was for the Nets.
Yeah.
Although we had plenty of those for the Lakers.
For the what?
For the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
Clarkson's rookie year, that was pretty dope. Clarkson saying that he does it for the ladies.
Oh, yeah. Man, that guy kept it real.
Yeah, he kept it real. Lou Williams winning us games. Awesome. Except for when we didn't want it. Not so awesome. Yeah, anything else? Magic Johnson. That was dope.
I bet you Clarkson comes back to the Lakers eventually.
Yeah, I could see it.
Or he's a free agent.
You know I can see him more as a Clipper. Anyway. Any last ones besides?
Nah, yeah. I'm good. I can't, off the top of my head, I can't really think of anything else.
The only other thing I'm thinking of is like, of course, they're going to come rest me as soon as we stop recording. Huh? What?
I just thought of one. What? Maybe my favorite. No, definitely my favorite.
What?
When Ingram hit that three at the end of the Sixers, the 76ers game, away.
Uh-huh.
And we won. I was beating my chest and slamming the floor. Because I really, ever since Embiid was like, fuck LeVar Ball, I hate the Sixers. Especially because they're like ahead of us in the rebuild. You know what I mean? They got Simmons. Like, I love Lonzo, but he's probably not as good as Ben Simmons is. So when we beat them, like, and it was Ingram who struggled in the previous year with his threes. He hit a three to beat maybe like the team I hate the most. Because I mean, the Celtics were not really, they're just way better. So it's like, I mean, maybe not anymore, but at the time there was no, like, what am I going to do? Yeah. Get angry at a team that's way better? That's a bad look. But so the Sixers, who were kind of competitive with, but they're kind of ahead of us, and they were like talking shit. And Ingram hit that three when he's struggling with his threes, and we won. Oh my God, I loved it.
I guess that and the Lonzo Spurs game. That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, and then I guess it goes without saying, we've talked about this a billion times, is all the times that the lottery went right was amazing.
Yeah, definitely.
I was like yelling in my car all three times.
You know.
I was in my car all three times, and I yelled all three times in my car listening to the radio.
That's awesome.
Yes! All right.
I was at work, and I got a text from you. It said we got Lonzo. Even though it wasn't the draft, it was the lottery. But
I remember that.
I remember just seeing my phone light up, and you had said that, and I was like, I was trying to focus, but it was hard.
I know. That was so scary. Oh my goodness.
Uh huh. Oh, and I guess drafting Zoe was another one of my favorite moments of the rebuild.
Yeah, that was dope.
All right. That about wraps it up.
Yeah, you're right. That wraps it up. Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you like what you heard, please check us out on Lit for Lakers at Twitter, at Lit for Lakers. There you go. Otherwise, you know, like, comment, subscribe, all the good stuff. Peace out, guys. Have a good day.
Bye.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app. Free for iOS and Android.